Hello, my name is Chaplain Blondie Gregory, and I want to welcome you to the broadcast today. And I pray today that the broadcast will be a blessing and an encouragement to you. And that the word that I give you today, I know if you'll hear the word of God and hear what God has done and is doing, that it'll encourage your heart. So if you want to hear some encouragement, please stay tuned. Right now, I'd like to pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for each and every one that's listening under the sound of my voice. I pray that you touch them in a mighty way. I pray you bring them unto salvation and let them know that the only way that one can be born again is that they must receive Jesus, for he is the only way into salvation. I pray that you touch hearts, strengthen souls for those that are in a hospital and sick and on their bed of affliction. I pray that you touch them. I pray for our country special, Lord, that you bring a revival to our wonderful land and God cause people to turn back to you and have mercy upon America. I pray especially for our leaders of our nation that you cause their hearts to be turned back to you. Deal with us, Lord, I pray, in mercy and kindness as you have in so many years past. Forgive us of our sins and our transgressions. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I'd like to read Psalms 23, and this is a portion of scripture. I guess everybody probably know this by heart, but I want to read it today. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This is a beautiful portion of scripture, filled with so many promises. But the first verse just kind of sums it all up. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And when you have made Jesus your shepherd, he will lead you where the still waters. He will lead you in the green pastures. He will anoint your head with oil. He will take you to the place where you can even feast in the presence of your enemies. In other words, he's your all in all. Today, I encourage you to make Jesus your shepherd. It's been requested of me that I give my testimony of the many years that my husband and I spent on the years of trucking for Jesus. For 36 years, my husband and I, Chaplain Bunny Gregory was my husband's name. He went home to be with the Lord in 2011. But for 36 years, my husband and I traveled coast to coast with our mobile chapel, a 18-wheeler that was converted into a church on wheels for truck drivers. The back part was a chapel, and the front part of the trailer was our living quarters. And we would take this unit into truck stops all over the United States. But we started in 1975 Trucking for Jesus. And when we first began the Trucking for Jesus ministry, I want you to know that our first beginnings were kind of rough. We didn't have a backing, and so we didn't have a group supporting us. When we left home in Virginia to go all the way to California with our little mobile chapel, we just depended on God to meet and supply our every need. And when we left home to make the whole entire trip, and we would be gone for about a year, we had $200 in our pocket. But you know what? We would get to each truck stop, and we would go in and ask the owner of the truck stop, could we set our little chapel up? And it was God that gave us the favor. You know, it has to be God when you roll up with a church on wheels, and you go to a place of business and ask them, can you park on their lot for an allotted amount of time and preach the gospel? And they say yes. That has to be the favor of God. And I want to point that out to you right now. For 36 years across this country, God opened up door after door after door for us to set up in the truck stops. And as years would go by, we'd go back to the same truck stop over and over. And we began to set up a relationship. And each year at the same time, we would come back to these stops. And they would open our doors and welcome. And over the years, and when we would go to the truck stops, we began to meet so many people and families associated with trucking and lived in the area. They became our family away from our family. And we begin to have family all over the United States, for our congregation was spread coast to coast and even into Canada. We had truck drivers that would come down from Canada that we got to know and meet. And it was a great miracle to be able to take a tractor and trailer across the country and preach to the drivers and to open up our doors to anyone that would come in. When we would pull into a truck stop, everybody would be welcome into our chapel. And we would have all kinds of people from all walks of life that would come into our chapel. There's no way I could tell you of the many, many people that came through the doors of our chapel. My husband always kept a ledger and a record of the souls that were saved on the chapel, and we tried to pray over them every day. And the last number that he had put in his ledger before the Lord took him home was 5,599 souls that were saved. Now, let me tell you, that might not seem like a whole lot to a lot of these big churches and places like that, but let me tell you something. In truck stops, that was a mighty great number and a mighty revival that we had. My husband would never say he was looking for a big congregation. He would always say, I'm going out and let God make an opportunity. He looked for an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. And we tried to be always faithful to tell people about Jesus. And on the side of our mobile chapel, we had Trucking for Jesus from one end to the other. And my husband always insisted that there be no name on our chapel that was higher or bigger than the name of Jesus. You see, people, let me tell you something. You will forget a man's name. And that's all right. But let me tell you, you never want to forget the name of Jesus. And no other name needs to be higher than the name of Jesus. If you get to where it's always I this and I that, we've already gotten in trouble. It always has to be, as John the Baptist, he said, I must decrease and Jesus must increase. And that's how it should be always in our life. We need to lift him higher and not exalt self. Ministries get in trouble when they start exalting a denomination or self. We always need to lift up the name of Jesus. But to keep us on the road for 36 years of trucking, God worked mighty, mighty miracles to keep us on the highways. And in these series of broadcasts that are coming up, I want to share with you of the many miracles that God has given to us to keep us on the road. When we first began on the road, our son, Orville Jr., was only 8 years old, and I had to homeschool him, and he traveled with us across the country. And we would get in places and we would set the chapel up, and it would be a lot, most time the truck stops would not be close to a town, or they would be on the outskirts on the freeway. And we would be in a place where you just couldn't go off to a grocery store or a Walmart or someplace like that. And I remember one time we were in a truck stop in El Paso, Texas, and it was outside of the El Paso. She's just getting ready to go out. And we were there for a couple of weeks with our mobile chapel. And our son, who was 8 years old at that time, had walked across the street to a little convenience store. And he saw a kite in that store. And he come back and he said, Mama, there's a kite in the store across the street. I'd like to have that kite. It was real windy there in El Paso. And he said, I want to go on the back side of the lot and I want to put up a kite. And I told him his daddy was outside talking to a truck driver. And they had asked for a cup of coffee. And when I reached in the cabinet to get the coffee jar out, there was only 2 teaspoons of coffee left in the whole jar. And I made my husband and that trucker the last cup of coffee that we had on our chapel. And I told my son that morning, I said, listen, child, we don't have money for even a kite and string. Our finances are very, very low right now. We've got to watch every penny now. And I said, besides, we've run out of coffee. And this morning we ran out of groceries. We don't have any more groceries. And I took his little hands and I put them on the kitchen cabinet. I said, we've got to pray that God will send us in some food for the day and for the rest of our stay here. And as we begin to pray, we ask God to send in what we needed. And a couple hours after that, this truck driver that we know from Lawton, Oklahoma, pulled up beside our chapel. And he got down out of this Ben Kenworth tractor, and he come walking over toward the chapel. And he said, where have you been? He said, I've been looking for you for 2 weeks. He said, 2 weeks ago, my wife was in the grocery store, and God laid on her heart to buy you some groceries. And he said, for 2 weeks, I've been looking for you to give you these groceries. And all was we ever happy to hear that, because just a few hours before that, we had prayed for groceries. So he reached in the bottom part of his sleeper, and he got out two big boxes filled with groceries. And when he bought them in our little chapel and put them in on our table in our chapel, when he set those two boxes down filled with groceries, laying on top of those boxes was a kite and string for our boy. I want you to know that he had no way of knowing that morning our little boy had asked for kite and string. But let me tell you, God knew all about it. And 2 weeks before we ran out of groceries, God had the order on the way. And 2 weeks before our son asked for a kite and string, God had it already in order. And I come to tell you this morning, it makes no difference what your need is. God already knows your need. Just go to him in faith and believing that he is going to take care of you, and he is your shepherd, and you shall not want. You say, well, what is a miracle about a kite and string? Well, it might not have been so much to a grown man or woman, but to that little boy, that little 8-year-old boy, it was a whole lot. And it was something that was impressed in his soul forever. And even now as a grown man, as he's pastoring a church, he still remembers when God sent him that kite and string. But let me tell you, that's not all of that miracle. There's more to it. You see, I had given the truck driver and my husband the last 2 teaspoons of coffee that I had in the jar that morning. And that was in the late 70s when this happened. And from that day to this day right now, the chapel has never run out of coffee since. When we would get low or we think this is to be it, God would send in more. God would supply. And from this day forward, all the way from that day, never has the ministry ran out of coffee. Anytime a truck driver would come by, anytime we'd have a Bible study, anytime we would offer a service, the coffee has been there. God has always supplied it, and God has already always met that need. And I want you to know that God made a way for us to stay on the road. God made a way for us to preach the gospel. God made a way for us to keep on keeping on. And many, many times when the supplies would get low, God would send it in. He's a God that's always on time. He's a God that is a thoughtful God, is a considerate God. And God wants to bless and wants to take care of us. God is a good God. And over the years, we saw many, many souls saved. We would meet all kinds of people in truck stops, truck drivers, runaways, homeless people. We would meet doctors, lawyers, senators, you name it. We met them in truck stops. One night, we was parked at a truck stop in Bakersfield, California. And we had had company way on up into the morning. It was about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And I was cleaning the chapel floor, getting ready to clean it up so we could go to bed. And we were so tired. We'd had a very, very busy day. And just as I was getting ready to wind everything up, my husband called in the door and he said, Blonnie, put the coffee on. God is sending us somebody. And I thought to myself, oh, no, it's so late and I'm so tired. And I was expecting maybe a truck driver that was coming in late to pull up beside of us. But my husband brought in this lady in the chapel. And this lady, I is no way I can describe to you what she looked like. She lived in the orange groves that were close to the truck stop. She looked like her hair hadn't been combed forever. She was so dirty and so filthy. And everything she had was wrapped up in a piece of plastic. And when she came in the chapel, she just talked out of her head. And my husband told me, said, Blonnie, go get her a cup of coffee. And I went in and made her a cup of coffee. And my husband talked to her and explained to her the plan of salvation. And after he talked to her a while, he reached over and laid hands on her and prayed for her. And he asked her, he said, would you like to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And this pitiful looking woman that lived in the orange grove, she said, yes, I will. And she prayed the sinner's prayer with my husband. And the next day we talked to the owner of the truck stop about this woman. He said, oh yeah, that's one we call Tote Sack Annie. said every day, once a day, she comes to the truck stop and she goes in the women's bathroom and she washes up a little bit. And said then she goes out behind the restaurant and she gets her something to eat out of the Dempsey dump. And she's been doing this for about a year or so now. We call her Tote Sack Annie. And it just broke our hearts to think that she lived in such conditions as that. And when we left the truck stop, we got to thinking about her and praying for her. And we called the truck stop owner, and what we were going to do was send him some money so that she could have something to go in a restaurant and get her something good to eat and wouldn't have to eat out of the dump. And he said, you know what, she only come back one time after you left. She's never been back since. And we wondered whatever happened to her and wondered where she went to. And it wasn't when we got back there the following year, we asked, had anybody seen her? And they said, no, we don't know what happened to her. After she came that night, we never saw her again. And we went to preach in a church, in a local church there in Bakersfield, after we'd been there about a week. And we were giving our testimony about this woman that lived in the orange groves and came to the truck stop and ate out of the dump. And a woman in the back stood up and said, I know who you're talking about. She called her name. She said her name is Claire. She said a year ago the county picked her up and put her in a nursing home. And said that now I work there. She said, I'm a nurse there and I see her every day. And she says every day she walks up and down the halls of the nursing home telling people about Jesus. And how good he is and how that he will save your souls. I don't care how far down you've gone. I don't care how bad somebody looks or how hopeless their lives seem. It's not too hopeless for Jesus. He can reach down in the lowest pit and he can bring them out and give them a life and a new life. He is your shepherd and you shall not want. I'm talking to people today. You don't know which way you're going to turn. You don't know where to go. You don't know how you're going to eat. You don't know how you're going to supply for your children. I come to tell you, the Lord is your shepherd. He wants to be your shepherd. And he doesn't want you to want. He wants to meet supply. He'll make a way for you. He'll send in what you need. He'll help you. He'll give you a good job. He'll give you a position. He'll show you what to do. You just need to trust him. I asked a friend of mine one time, I was sick, and seemed like the more I testified and the more I read, just seemed like everything I'd done, I just got worse and worse and worse. And I asked my friend one day, I said, you've gone through many sicknesses. I said, tell me what I'm doing wrong. He said, Lonnie, you're not doing anything wrong. He said, this is what you got to know. He said, no matter what happens to you, you got to know you're going to be all right. And when he said that, something just triggered off in my heart and in my soul. And from that day forward, I just, no matter how sick I would be or what I'd be going through, I just knew I was going to be all right because the Lord was my shepherd and he was going to take care of me. And today I have to say, I'm all right. God brought me through it. It wasn't instantaneously. It was day by day, but he brought me through it. He took care of me. And today you got to know when the Lord is your shepherd, you're going to be all right. You might have to weather some storms as we trucked for 36 years. Some of the storms we had to go through. Some of the storms we avoided. Some of the storms we caught the front end of it. Some of them we caught the back end of it. But through it all, God brought us through it all. I know we were in a truck stop in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And a warning signs went out across the truck stop. You could hear the tornado sirens going off. And they warned us to run to the truck stop because the tornado was coming straight our way. And my husband and I got down out of our chapel and we began to walk across the truck stop lot. And I turned to him and I said, let me tell you something. If I leave this world, it's not going to be in a truck stop. I'm going to be found in that Trucking for Jesus truck. I said, we're going back to our chapel. And if the Lord wants to take us, it'll be in that truck. And we went in our chapel and we could feel the wind shaking our tractor and trailer. Unless you've ever experienced that, it's no way to describe it. And all of a sudden, we felt all 18 wheels come up off of the ground of our unit. And we were praying. Let me tell you, I won't tell you what you're going to do in a hurricane or a tornado or whatever. You're going to be praying. And that's what we were doing. We were praying. And all of a sudden, that we felt our chapel just go right back to the ground. And it just sat down just as easy as it could be. And that storm jumped over us and went on down the road. Let me tell you, God put his angels about us at night, and God kept us. God protected us. But I thought about so many times our decision to be found in Jesus. You see, Jesus is the master of the storm. So many times we go through storms in our lives and we don't know what we're going to do. But you got to go to the master of the storm. You got to go to the one that can speak to the storm. Whether it be a storm in the physical, some of you that are listening, you're having a storm in your life, with your children, with your home, with your finances. Some of you in your spirit. But he can calm any storm. He is your shepherd. He wants to be your shepherd, and he wants to calm that storm in your life. It makes no difference what you're faced with today. God can bring you through it, and God can take you through. I remember we went to a friend of ours one day, and he was the head of the organization at that time that we were with, and one of the brethren in the church had done some things that we didn't think was right. And we spent about an hour telling him all of his faults and all the things that this other pastor had done and what we thought. We were so new in the ministry. We had just begun ourselves, and we were wet behind the ears, as you might say. We didn't have a whole lot of understanding about things, but we thought we did. And that guy, he listened to us, the head of the organization listened to us for about an hour. And then when we'd finished talking about the other pastor and everything that was wrong and everything that he had did that was wrong, he looked at us, and this is what he said. He said, "It makes no difference what other people do. You stay sweet." And I have to say, that was the two most soundest words of advice that my husband and I ever received, to stay sweet. You see, no matter what you're faced with, we need to stay sweet. And you can only do that through Jesus Christ. It's not that we see we can see faults in other people. And we can see the wrong that they're doing. But are you staying sweet? You know, when you become bitter, God can't use you. When you become bitter and unforgiving, God can't bless you like you ought to be blessed. You cut off the divine flow. So many times God wants to bless us, but we won't let him. How many times have you wanted to be good to your children or your family, but they just won't let you do it? That's the way it is with God. He wants to bless us, but a lot of times we reject him. And when you reject him, you reject his hand of mercy. 36 years of trucking across the highways, miracle after miracle after miracle. But the greatest miracle that we ever saw was the miracle of salvation. When the men and women would come, and how God would bring them, some late at night, some early in the morning, some on the side of the road, it made no difference. Sometimes we'd be parked in the front of the truck stop. Sometimes we'd be at the back of the truck stop. But it made no difference. God would bring them. Some water, some sow. But it's God that gives the increase. And today I want you to know that when you labor for him, it's not in vain. And I want you to remember this, what God ordains, he will sustain. He will take care of it. He will provide for you. He will make a way. Oh, so many times I would think, "Lord, how are we going on and how are we going to make it?" But he would give you the strength. He gave us the strength to go. He would send in what we need at the appointed time. And he would help us to learn to lean on him and help us to learn to walk in faith. And we learn to appreciate even the least of the least. I told a man one time, a reporter was looking for us. He wanted to do a story on the mobile chapel. And he called a truck stop owner friend of ours, and he said, "I've known Bunny and Blondie for a long time." He said, "I knew them when they were eating peanut butter and bologna sandwiches." And the truck stop owner said, "Well, I knew them way before you. I knew them when they only had the peanut butter." But let me tell you something we learned a long time ago. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God will send in what you need. And he's already sent salvation. He's already sent your provisions. He's already sent his hand of mercy. He's already sent these gifts. He said, "I'm your shepherd, if you'll just let me." But you've got to receive it. A gift is not a gift unless you receive it. You've got to take it in. And today I invite you to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Receive Him as your shepherd of your life. Receive Him into your heart and life, and let Him give you peace and joy within. I see so many ministries that just focus on financial, and I know it takes money. I have many different broadcasts around the country, and I'm well aware of the money that it takes to stay on the air and to keep the ministry going. But let me tell you, God will send you what you need when you need it. One night we were in a revival meeting, and this evangelist passed the offering plate. And when the people in there, was a small congregation, and when the plate come back around, the evangelist looked down in the plate and said, "This is not enough. This is too small. Pass it around." And my husband stood up and he said, "Sir, if God only gives you a quarter, you'll only need a quarter. You just be thankful for what you got." For he took 5 fish and 2 small barter loaves, and he blessed it, and he fed a multitude. Today, what he sends will be enough to get you through the day. It'll be enough to get you through the night. He is our all in all. Today, I invite you to receive Jesus. I invite you to let him love you. I invite you to ask him and to let him come into your heart and be the Lord of your life. I want to thank you for listening into the broadcast. If you will, write me and let me know that you're listening. Write me and let me know that you're praying for me. Write me and let me send me your prayer requests and let me pray over you. But most of all, keep your eyes on Jesus, because the man, a lot of times, and they don't mean to all the time, will fail you. But he said, "I'll never leave you." Jesus said, "I'll never forsake you." He died for you. He loves you. And he is the author and the finisher of our faith. What he starts, he will finish. He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. And he wants to reach down and bless you. Let him bless you today. Walk in faith, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And faith is simply taking God at his word. What he said, he will do. What he said, he will watch over to perform it. What he said, he is faithful to keep. God is faithful. Thank you for listening into the broadcast today. Keep on keeping on for Jesus. And God bless you. Have a wonderful day in him. And remember, always remember, that God is faithful. And he wants to bless and keep you. God is faithful to the very end. God bless you. Have a marvelous week in him.